Welcome to Rebecca Neal, the podcast, where I, Rebecca, your host, share thought-provoking episodes with you to help you take your life from where it is now to where you want it to be. I have a huge desire and passion to help people just like you get out of their own way and start living the life that they deserve. I'm here to help you feel empowered, educated, and inspired to get into massive action and create change in your life today. Join me weekly as I share insights into the online business world, social media, and many other motivational topics, and also interview some of the world's most incredible humans to help you become the best version of yourself. Hello and welcome back to Rebecca Neal, the podcast. Today's guest is Anna Richards, who is a proud and globally known professional network marketer, having successfully earned her first $1 million in income online by the age of 30. A keynote speaker both internationally and in Australia where she lives, she impacts thousands of lives both online and from the stage, training on all things business and self-love. She has built a thriving seven-figure online sales organization whilst traveling the world with her husband, visiting 45 countries and 150 cities in the last 7 years. Anna was recognized by Yahoo Finance and NBC as one of the top 10 online entrepreneurs and speakers and top 10 female entrepreneurs and speakers helping people thrive during the 2020 pandemic. She was also invited to speak on Eric Worre's stage for the entire network marketing profession, both at his GoPro event in Australia and then again at the Most Powerful Women in Network Marketing in Vegas. Anna has her own podcast with her husband, a self-love school, and many other amazing things, which I'm sure we are going to learn more about today. Welcome to the show, Anna. I'm so grateful to have you on.
Thank you, beautiful woman. I'm so excited to be here. What an intro. I'm here. Let's do this.
So good. I love reading bios because it's like we don't like smell the roses enough of what we've already achieved, and it's nice to hear it sometimes.
I was sitting here like, yeah, with a big grin on my face. Like, I did that. Yes.
Correct.
That's me.
So the first question I do ask my guests is, how do you enjoy your coffee in the morning? Because I feel like that is a way to really get to know someone's ins and outs.
Yes. Okay. I'm here for this question. Almond milk latte with a dash of honey.
Oh, nice.
But if you've never done that, that's my gift for you. You could stop listening now and have the best life for the rest of your year, just knowing that one tip. Almond milk latte with a dash of honey.
All right, we've got to try this one. It sounds delicious. Let's dive into who you are and what your mission is. I mean, just listening to your bio says a lot about what you've already achieved, and you know, you're such an incredible woman. Since I've followed you online, like, I've really enjoyed your content. You dive deep into topics that really, you know, push the boundaries, which I really value in someone. So tell us a little bit more about your greater mission. Why do you do what you do? Who is it for? Like, let's go on a little bit of a journey.
Yeah, okay. Beautiful question, and it's such a big one, I suppose, and one we could probably definitely unpack. Let's see how much I rant and go off on tangents. But I honestly believe I was put on earth to be a life enthusiast and to live this embodied life of power and potency and exactly what you said, pushing the boundaries. And through that embodiment of who I am, essentially, which is just all those things, I hope and aim to inspire women to do the same. So it's just, for me, it's all about this, the being of the sovereign woman. So just being a woman that is so in her power and potency in all ways. So not just physically, mentally, spiritually, and financially. That is one of the biggest passions that I have, empowering women to earn money and love money and just show up in the world in a really big, bold way. But to do that, my whole ethos is, I never want to tell you, I just want to show you what that looks like. And so my mission, really, I'm talking it aloud, is to live my own life aloud and so boldly and so beautifully and so aligned that just through osmosis of watching and being inspired, that you then are inspired to do the same in all ways, physically, mentally, spiritually, and financially.
Yeah, I love that so much. And I think as a leader, a true leader, it's really about inspiring others to do the same. It's not about telling, it's about showing the way. And I really align with that, with what you're saying. It's so amazing. And so have you always been like that? Was there something, like a point in your life where you're like, oh my God, I've got to make a change?
Yeah, no. Oh my God. I always say this is a whole podcast episode, just the story, but no, definitely not. So whoever I'm sees today, and I talk about this all the time, you know, it's in Q&As on my Instagram. Yesterday I just did the whole how it started, how it's going with my husband of 14 years.
I saw that.
We've dated 14 years, married 7. So I'm always sharing that old Anna. But no, definitely not. So I've been on a self-love journey for the last decade. And I started because of I've hit rock bottom. I was 22. And just I'd had a horrible upbringing. We've all got trauma, right? I hadn't taken responsibility at that point. I had medicated, masked, hated myself, and got myself into this debilitating spiral of just hate and shit living. So just physically unwell, mentally unwell, spiritually depleted. I had debilitating anxiety. I was on medication, which was kind of my rock bottom. So had the worst panic attack, couldn't breathe, got rushed to a medical center at work. And my anxiety got diagnosed and I went home. They basically said, you can't go home. We basically have to admit you because we don't trust. I'd self-harmed. I'd done all these crazy things as a kid. And so they said, you know, we don't trust that you will be okay. So you can be released essentially with someone that you trust and signs you out basically, which was Morgan, my then boyfriend, now husband. And you're going to go on two types of daily and anxiety medication, one of which was Xanax, which just made me a zombie. And I went home that night and I was rocking myself, just like you see in the horrible movies, you know, when someone's unloved and alone, and I was hysterical. And Morg said, what are you going to do? Like, what the fuck do we do? Like, where do you go from here? And I literally, this is where I'm like, I think it was a divine anointment and appointment. And I just said, you know, I'm here because I hate myself. I know exactly why I'm here. Like, I fucking hate myself. And so what would it look like? Like, what's the opposite of that? Well, to love myself. Now, I didn't even know what that was. I didn't know where to start. I didn't know, self-love wasn't even a thing for me. Like, it wasn't a trending thing. It wasn't hot. We didn't have Instagram back then, nothing. So I just said, you know, the opposite of hate is love. And so what would it look like if I loved myself instead? And so day by day, moment by moment, little by little by little, I started to heal my life through self-love. And it wasn't, I wish it was, face masks and bubble baths. But it wasn't. It was completely transforming my life in every single way, physically, mentally, spiritually. And that was through this whole ethos that I now have in self-love school, which is thinking like I love myself, moving like I love myself, eating like I love myself, speaking like I love myself, earning like I love myself, and self-caring like I love myself. And I just started to adapt and create all these little habits in my life that healed me. And I mean, that's been, like I said, a 10-year journey. So when people see me on stages now or cry, you know, every morning, good morning, morning loves on my Instagram at 5 a.m. I mean, I would have hated, I say to Morgs all the time, I'm like, oh my God, 22-year-old Anna would have fucking hated 33-year-old Anna. But yeah, so that's been my whole journey. So definitely not, I wasn't someone that was like, yeah, I was born with this, rah. But I remember when I was in federal politics, so I spent 4 years in federal politics, and we were very blessed to have a private audience, just some of the staff with the Dalai Lama.
Wow.
And I remember him sitting there, and I've sat with him in the audience with him twice, one very close in like this private audience and another with, he'd just come to Perth, and anyway, it was like 20,000 people. But in this private audience, and actually in the huge crowd as well, he said that he believed that the Western woman would change the world. Mm-hmm. And I can't even, like, I just remember thinking, like, that's my life purpose. Like, it was an anointment. It was like, that's what I'm here to do. Like, I'm this blessed Western woman in the Western world that can speak up and show up, and that's what I'm here to do. And so, yeah. So it kind of started around literally when I started to heal my life, which was about 22.
I love that. And I think it's, I always joke that we're wounded healers, like us coaches or those who are inspiring others to change their life. It's really beautiful. And self-love is something that's thrown around so much and in your face now. But like you said, back then there wasn't information. So you go on your own journey and it's harder, but it's also now given you a gift to be able to give to others because you had to really discover it on your own, which is really awesome. So let's talk a little bit more about self-love then, because obviously there's an importance of it. So what is self-love and how does someone embody it or cultivate it more in their lives?
I honestly believe, I always say, I just 10 years in, I still don't have the clever soundbite. And I think that's what self-love is. I think it's the true essence of your embodiment of thinking, eating, moving, speaking, earning. I'm so big on earning, but like earning and self-caring, like you love yourself. And I always say, like in self-love school, I teach this, I don't tell people exactly what to do. I create the container and I'll give you the prompt. So earning like you love yourself. Okay, well, what does that look like for you? Okay, eating like you love yourself. That's not a diet. That's literally my whole belief is there's no such thing as bad food, only bad habits. Mm-hmm. So moving like you love yourself. I'm training for a half Ironman. Don't go do that. Like it's like, what does that look like for you? Is it 10 minutes of stretching in the morning to give your miraculous masterpiece of a body the gift of movement? So it's those six core areas that I believe, because I think I always like to be positive. So I'm like, I think that often we get bogged down in the clever sound bites or the whole like, oh, self-care, self-love. Self-care is part of self-love. But to me, there's these five core other aspects. Because I always say, if you're in the bubble bath and you get out of the bubble bath and you catch your reflection in the mirror and you put yourself down and you're like, oh God, I'm disgusting. Well, then, you know, you got to be thinking like you love yourself. You got to be speaking like you love yourself. And so what does that look like for you? And for me, I mean, that is just genuine, joyful, grateful, abundant living every single day in my body, in my choices, in my health, in my finances, in my emotional intelligence, in my spirituality, in my relationships, in my sex, all of it. So
yeah, that's awesome. And you're right, because that self-care bubble bath doesn't make a difference if you're getting out abusing yourself in the mirror.
Yeah.
Totally. So then if someone is looking to, I guess, do more self-care, and like you said, it is a personal thing and it is unique to each individual. Like you said, you're training for a marathon. The way I might do self-love and self-care is different. How does someone start looking at this? I know in the past I've worked with women in body image issues, you know, in different phases, and it is challenging because women literally hate themselves and they say these horrible things to themselves. Where does someone start? Like, do you read books? Where does someone begin?
Yeah, reading like you love yourself, right? So I always say pick the one area where you need it the most. But I have this thing now, and it's biased because it was mine. I started moving. Mm-hmm. So to tell part of my story within this, when I hated myself and I was at my rock bottom and I said, you know, what's it going to look like if I loved myself instead? I mean, I literally don't think I'd even ever heard the word self-love. This is 10 years ago. So it wasn't like, okay, so now I'm going to go read books. But I remember saying to Morgan, what does it look like? I don't even know what it looks like. And I said, well, you know what? People that exercise look happy, right? Like that was my level of understanding. I said, well, people that move, like runners, never look sad. So I'm going to wake up a little bit earlier tomorrow and I'm going to go move. And that was the beginning of my self-love journey. It was moving my body, and, you know, motion creates emotion. And so I woke up literally 15 minutes earlier and I hated it. I hated every minute of it. I spent about 5 minutes despising that I was doing this. I didn't even own exercise clothes. It was like daggy, shitty, whatever clothes that I put on. And I just walked 5 minutes one way up the block. Like this was like on Xanax, turned around and walked 5 minutes back. Yeah. And that was that was where I was at. And that was enough for me. And that was perfect. And then that was it. And every day, little by little by little, I just did the same thing. But then I started to feel a little bit better. And I was like, oh my, and then I started to genuinely enjoy it. And then so then I walked half an hour. And then I started to walk the block. So it was like 40 minutes. And then Morg started to come with me. And then I started to run a little bit. And then so movement was a really big one for me. But then I started to feel good. And so then it was like, okay, well, then let's look at what I'm eating, because I was still eating shit. just food that didn't support my highest good. So we're, you know, fueling anxiety and fueling just like sluggishness. So then I started to look at eating like I love myself, but not until I'd nailed my moving like I love myself and I'd created those habits. So I always say for women, start where you are, use what you've got, do what you can. So whatever your not weakest, but wherever you're struggling the most, and maybe it is thinking like you love yourself. Because I know for most women it's that. It's the thing between our two ears. So how can you catch the thoughts and replace it with I love you instead? And you're gonna hate it. I hated it. When I started on my own journey, I was like, this is terrible and awkward and I hate it. But I mean, it's been the best 10 years of my life. So is it thinking like you love yourself? Is it moving like you love yourself? Is it eating like, do you know that every day drinking that bottle of wine? That's, I love alcohol. I don't cut anything from my diet. There's no such thing as bad foods, only bad habits. But is, you know, are you eating that tub of ice cream a night that, or a bottle of wine a day that isn't serving your highest good? That's a bad habit. It's not a bad food. So can you, in a small way, start to little by little, you know, cut that back? Whatever. So I always just say, start where you need it the most. But for me, that was movement. I needed to move my body to know that I could do this and just to get into action, physical action. So I always suggest if you don't even know where to start, start right there. Start with movement. And if you've got kids, literally it could be 10 minutes of stretching. I always say to women, just set the alarm 10 minutes early, drink some water, even if kids are crawling all over you, and just sit on the side of the bed and do some stretches for your body.
Yeah, that's really beautiful and really helpful. Thank you for that. I think it's important because people need to follow a program. They need to find the latest diet. They need to do all these things. And then it's really overwhelming. They don't have the time. They don't have the money, or they just, you know, whatever other reason or excuse. So they don't do anything at all. So really beautiful. Just taking that small step every day and then expanding on it is such a good tip. So do you think there's a reason why there's a lot of this stuff going on in the world? Do you think it's because there's a lot of comparison online? Do you think people have trouble more with self-love because of social media, or do you think this is something that's always been the case?
No, I absolutely think it's gotten worse. I think even just the global stress that's going on at the moment that just is relentlessly not going away. And so literally the oxidative stress in our bodies, the comparison game on social media, like, yeah, 10 years ago, I always say that. I'm like, 10 years ago, MySpace was out. Facebook had just started. So I'm like, I can't even imagine how much more I would have hated myself really? Like 10 years ago if I had really been big into social media. But I do a lot of coaching with youth. I do a lot of like speaking with youth. And fundamentally, it would be remiss and irresponsible of me to not say, yes, absolutely, social media plays a humongous part in our social image, body image, self-love, self-loathing, and everything in between. But I just truly believe it should be the reason to do the work and not the excuse, right? So it's like, yeah, but it's hard. So I'm pro no filter. I'm not anti anything. Yeah. So I'm pro no filter. So I don't know. I've never used a filter on my Instagram stories, for example, because I don't even believe anymore. It's the new body dysmorphia. And so even little things like that. So women look at themselves all day via their Instagram, and it's so minute. It's such a small thing and it's so okay. Everybody does it. It's not a put down, but you know, women will look all day through their lens at themselves if they're doing, or at other women, say they're not doing it. That's not how we look. It's not how they look. It's not how you look. And so then you look in the mirror of an evening, say, yeah, and those wrinkles are there that you didn't see all day, or you're looking at other women who have these flawless, perfect faces, which is just not true. And so, yes, social media absolutely plays a part, but I'm so positive in that I'm like, I just have total control about how I consume social media. It is only a positive experience for me. Even how hard I go and the critics I cop and the boundaries I push, it's still only positive. So yes, I believe it is worse today because of things like A, global stresses and issues, and B, social media. But we can also use that as our reason to do the work more and not use it as the excuse to kind of fall into that pit of, oh, well, it's never going away. Right. You know, it's like, let it empower you, not enable you.
Yeah, I love that. I'm so grateful for social media for many reasons, especially in business. So I think it's a great tool. However, it's whether you use it or it uses you, right? And so very cool. And with the no filter, I made a decision at the end of last year. So I think even you prompted me that, because I was just playing with them because I love design. I'm a really creative person. I thought these are pretty cool. And then when you shared about that being the new body dysmorphia, I thought, oh my God, I don't want to be part of this problem. Like I am not going to contribute to this. I have a great audience and people look to me for advice and they value what I share, and I'm really big on speaking my truth, yet I'm using these filters. And so that really hit home for me, and I was like, no more. And I haven't used them since. So it's, you know, just those little things contributing to the world around us, making it different. So very inspiring for sure.
I always say I love women can feel like, and they do, they can come to my space and they're no matter when I'm on that Instagram story at 5 a.m. on my way to the gym or 5:30. It's like you get the bags, you get the wrinkles, and I love it. It's just, and I always say to women, like, and it takes work. It absolutely takes work, but I am so grateful for every freckle, for every wrinkle. I'm like, because so many don't get the privilege of aging, and we are like, the fact we're sitting here speaking to one another, it's like, it means that we have the gift of life for another day. And hundreds of thousands of people around the world didn't get that gift today. So why would I want to filter these wrinkles that, you know, I'm laughing over, and freckles that means I've been out in the beautiful sun? And
totally. And I said to my boyfriend on the weekend, because I've been through my own fitness journey and I was a fitness model and I gained a lot of weight and I went through my own body dysmorphia images after that because I lost my identity, sort of thing. And I said to him, I had this realization when I was walking, because I catch myself as well. We're not perfect, right? And I was beating myself up about we'd been drinking a bit too much lately and doing all these things. And I was like, oh, I just need to lose a bit of weight. And I was going into self-pity, right? And then I was like, hang on a minute. I have two legs that allow me to run that are beautiful and strong. And, you know, I have arms that move and allow me to dance. And I just went on this thing where I was like, some people don't even have that. And I'm here worried about the size of them or the way they look or that they're not lean enough. And I really caught myself in that. And I said, it's just ridiculous that we even compare those things. And like you said, with the freckles and the fact that we're even here to live another day, to tell another tale. So it's really about having that awareness to catch ourselves out and recognize what's important, really.
100%. And if women are sort of like, oh my God, I can't even get to that point yet with those catching thoughts, which is phenomenal. I coach this in self-love school in Speak Like You Love Yourself, but look up the emotional guidance scale. You would have heard of this, you'd know it, but the emotional guidance scale. So I always say to women, you can't go from, we can, right? When you've trained yourself and you kind of go from, because you're only really just at maybe emotion level 4 and you need to go to 1. The fastest way to get there is gratitude, but you cannot get there, right? So if women are like, oh, I'm still catching my own thoughts, but I just cannot get there yet. I can't get to that level of gratitude. Look up emotional guidance scale and learn the emotions. Learn how to like move your way up that emotional guidance scale, because you can't, you know, from frustrated, you can go to concerned. From concerned, you can go, you know, and you can move your way up until you get to that point where it's like, hang on a minute, I'm so grateful I am alive. And you can absolutely access that in any moment, but we have to take responsibility for our emotions and our thoughts. And we can do that through, you know, emotional guidance scale, which I always use and love.
Yeah, I think it's recognizing that it takes time, because I for sure have not always been able to do that and call myself out that quickly, for sure. But it's so awesome to recognize that when you have that growth that you're like, hang on,
God,
this is not okay.
Yeah, that's like a fireworks popping, like gold medal. 100%.
So let's dive into some business stuff, because you've achieved so much great stuff. What is your greatest achievement in business to date, do you think?
Do you know what? So I'm a woman of two hats at the moment. I've got two businesses. I have my phenomenal, never, ever, 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 ever going to stop at network marketing business. And then I launched Self Love School. Actually, this is definitely it. This is my proudest accomplishment. And so this is a teachable moment for everyone listening as well. I remember that because I've been doing network marketing now for 8 years, same company for 8 years. And I launched Self Love School, so my second business, December 2020, so only 2 months ago. And I was ready. I was saying, we can go here, we can talk all kinds of business and network marketing. When you start in network marketing, it's not the smartest idea. Like, I could have never done what I did, earn $1 million in 5 years. I've been a multiple six-figure earner from day one, or like from my first year in network marketing. I couldn't have done that if I was trying to chase two rabbits or all the things. But 8 years in, I had this story of like, my soul's work is self-love school. I mean, everything I went through, every cut, every hurt, every abuse, everything that I've gone through, I'm so grateful for, because it got me to the rock bottom, which led me to self-love, which is now my life's work. But when I was launching self-love school, I had so many of my own stories and demons of like, what are you doing? You know, is this a smart idea? If you're going to chase technically two rabbits and, you know, you can't manage this. And I just trusted. I was like, Anna, you've got this. Let this be easy. Let yourself go and have bigger impact. And I did. And the week that I launched Self-Love School, even with all the fear and trying to talk myself out of, you know, starting a second business with a growing network marketing business still today, the week I launched, which was December, I had my highest enrolling week as well. I think I enrolled 40 women in a week in sort of customers in my network marketing business, and which was a record. And obviously then had launched Self-Love School and, you know, sold it out within 8 hours. And so it was just this like God moment, or unicorns, Allah, whatever you believe in, that was like, yes, girl, this is your work. This is where you're meant to be. So my proudest moment truly is feeling so fearful to start a second business with a growing other business, trusting myself enough that I can do this, then doing it amongst the fear and the just, can I really do this, and putting myself out there even more. And then not only doing it, fucking rocking it, like rocking it. And so, yeah, that's definitely my proudest, managing both. And then since then, obviously it's only been 2 months, 3 months, but no, it's been 2 months. But I just launched number two today. So Self-Love School Intake 2's off and away this week. But, you know, and again, just still holding space and grace for both businesses and just having a ball. That's probably definitely it.
Yeah, it's really beautiful, because I think a lot of women starting businesses or even in their business currently feel that fear and don't take action because of it, right? So it's a really beautiful story. If someone is looking to find out what their life purpose is, like you share that's your life purpose, how does someone do that? Like, where do they find the clarity? Like, how do they dive into that?
I have always, this is something I have always said, but like, follow what feels good. I have just only and ever followed what feels good. So even right with self-love, like I never in a, you know, at my rock bottom, it was never, and then 10 years of work, and it will be forever work for me. I've followed what feels good in those six areas. And then it became this, you know, living, walking, talking embodiment of that's who I was and that's what I do. But that was just following what feels good. And then what happened was people kept asking me. That was the nut. People kept coming to me about it. Anna, can you coach me on this? And I was like, no, I've got my network marketing business. And that, I followed what feels good with that. I can take you there too, right? I remember sitting across from a total stranger who was the most vibrant, well human I'd ever met in my life. And that felt really good to me. I thought, God, whatever she's doing, I want. And it was our company's product. And so then when she drew the comp plan, I was in federal politics. I had a business degree. I had phenomenal contacts. It was like, I actually had no hangups about network marketing. I'm lucky. But still, it felt good for me. It felt right. I don't seek approval from others. I don't have to go and ask people. It's like, does this feel good and right for me? Yes, let's fucking go then. Like, it's a mind, body, soul, yes. So purpose is such a big thing, and it's why we're here. But I always say, like, your highest, truest, fullest calling is just doing things that light your soul on fire. And so find that and follow it. And it might be mothering. Like, being a mum could literally be your life purpose, and that's perfect and beautiful, because that feels so good for you, and you don't want to go back to work, or you don't want to start a business. Perfect. That's your purpose. Live it, follow it, love it. But if you're like, fuck, I'm in this corporate career that I hate, well, what do you love? And if you don't know what you love, go do some fun things. Like, go figure it out. Go follow what feels good and keep pulling at the thread with that, because that's how literally, I mean, that's why we move state. That's why I joined network marketing. That's why I started politics, in politics, I should say. That's why I launched self-love school. It's just I've always followed, and it's scary and there's uncomfortability, but it feels good. Every day I wake up, I'm like, this is what I want to do. So I don't know my purpose. I think my purpose is living life, like living the most full-on, bold, bright, technicolor life. But in amongst all that, it's following what feels good and rocking it.
Yes, so true. And it is, it's about feeling into your body and what feels good. Because we can fit, if we do tune in, we can feel what feels right and what feels off. And I was in network marketing I've still got a team, a beautiful team in network marketing, but I'm not actively building. And there was a point where I was like, this no longer does feel right to me. I feel more called to step back into coaching and go full time over there, even though at one point it felt incredible for me to build in that space. So I trusted that pull, even though it was scary, even though I was doing really well in the company that I was in, and the company was amazing and the product's amazing, but I trusted that pull to move and I followed it, you know. And that's a really beautiful lesson, is to listen, because if we stay where it doesn't feel good, it becomes draining. We don't live in our soul's mission, right?
Yeah, well, I think that's where all your dis-ease comes from, when you're not tuned in, when you're not tapped in, when you're not listening, when you're not trusting your gut. That, I mean, honestly, your purpose ladies, if you're listening, is to trust your gut in always to just, and if it's somatic, right? We are somatic beings. So it's like, trust that, tune in and ask yourself in whatever capacity, in whatever way, like what's going to feel good for me today. And it is those little moments. Like I cannot tell you how much joy and delight and thrill I get from beautiful coffee art, right? It's like, it's just follow always, what is it? With my almond milk latte with a dash of honey. But just follow what feels good. Trust your gut and you will find your purpose. It doesn't need to be big and grandiose, and it's not going to land in your lap. You know, God's not going to part the sky and the rainbow's going to be there. And it's just like you're going to wake up one day by following everything that feels good, and you're going to have this business that you've maybe launched or fallen pregnant and be a mom, whatever it is, and just be living this beautiful aligned life, and that's it.
Yeah, that's really special. And so I guess a big part of business too is making mistakes, right? So Tell us a little bit about, is there any big challenges or experiences you've had that I guess you've gained lessons from, and how you've actually used that tough time to propel you forward?
I mean, I could literally rattle off a billion. I'm just sitting here like, which is the best one that I can use? First of all, I literally fail forward every day. I've got no idea what I'm doing 99% of the time. Like I just have a lot of fun. I follow what feels good. I live in alignment. I move, eat, think, and, you know, speak, act, self-care like I love myself, but I fail forward every day. But the two biggest things, the biggest lesson I want to say, and I always speak to this, I would say, is that, I suppose this isn't a failure, but I was going to say critics and haters are a big one, but that's not my failure. So I'll say my failure first. Leadership for me was the biggest lesson, and it's still the biggest lesson. I honestly think only 8 years in now am I really starting to get the hang of it. Because in, say, network, and I know you've got a lot of network marketing listeners, which is awesome. So I know in network marketing, we work with, I mean, the best thing about network marketing is the people. The worst thing about network marketing is the people. So you're going to work with a lot of different people who aren't your people necessarily, or you're going to butt head with other leaders, which I have. And my failures was not just letting people do their thing their own way. I used to get pissed off at non-compliance, no integrity, and it used to affect me. And so I'd bite and I'd, you know, sort of be a bull at a, what is it, a dog at a bone with things like that. And that caused a lot of friction and stuff in my own life. And now I've learned through those failures and lessons that I just have to let everybody do, everybody's doing the best that they can with where they're at. And let everybody do however they want to build and whatever they want to do. So that was a huge leadership lesson for me. But the second, I suppose, biggest lesson in business for me, which isn't a failure necessarily, but it could have been, but I didn't let it, was critics and haters. Yes. From day one. And I think that's most people's failure, is they let critics and haters stop them. And never once have I let a critic or a hater stop me. And so I suppose on the flip side of failures, the thing I'm most proud of is not letting that. And I think I always say, if you want to listen to, like, the next time someone criticizes your choice for choosing network marketing or wanting to, or speak up on anything, send them a bill. Send them the biggest bill that you've got and see if their opinion's going to pay it. And if it doesn't, then just fucking ignore them. Like, that's just not worth your time. So yeah, it's my failures are learning to just lead with grace and allow people to be who they are, even, you know, even if I disagree.
Yes.
Vehemently, or vehemently. But, and then my other one is I'm proud that I never let critics and haters stop me.
I really like that. And, you know, my background in network marketing, and now I coach women in network marketing on all different companies. So I'm very passionate about the vehicle and what it enables people to have. But there is a lot of that fear around what other people think. Is it a pyramid scheme? Like, there's so many things. And it's really like, and even like you said, having a team that's not necessarily showing up the way you'd like them to. And it's about loving them where they're at, right? And it's really important to not let people's opinions guide you. So some of those myths around network marketing, can we talk a little bit about that?
Yes, let me riff. Let me go.
Go, girl.
Which one?
Well, I think what's the most common thing that you hear, or not necessarily maybe you directly, but your team when they're first starting out, and how do you handle that?
Beautiful. I'm going to say pyramid scheme, 100%. Yeah. So when I walk, and this is my experience with it, I suggest my product. Okay. I've never heard of network marketing in my life. I was in federal politics, had a six-figure income. I was 25 at the time, flew on private jet, like just lived this phenomenal lifestyle, right? Had a business degree. So I knew a few things and said yes to these products. She's my best friend today, Peter Kelly, but PK, when she introduced the products to me, she said she drew a compensation plan. And I literally sat there with all of this knowledge and all of this background in, you know, politics. I'd sat with billionaires, CEOs, millionaires, franchisees, franchisors, businessmen from around the globe in politics. And this compensation plan got drawn for me on a tablecloth at a Chinese restaurant. It was like a paper thing. This is my story. And I went, holy shit, where is this a thing? Like, what is this? She's like, it's network marketing. It's just a really smart way to do business. And I said, fucking yeah, it is. This is the most generous and genius business model that I've ever come across. Now, again, business degree, 4 years in politics. I was obsessed with business. 2 years, like from 18 to 2021, I'd worked in an accounting firm. You had to have $1 million to be, like, as a company to be part of this family, like just business was my life. And so when this got drawn for me, I went, this is genius. Walked in the door and my husband, and I went, oh babe, I'm so excited because how was dinner? I said, oh, really good. Like, she's awesome. Yeah, we're going to be best friends now. I've just got these products, super pumped. Like, I don't fully get it, but there's these products that are going to get delivered. And it's like, if I share them, I don't fully understand it, but if I share them, I can get paid. He turned around with steam coming out of his ears and he was like, you fucking idiot. You just got scammed. You just joined a pyramid scheme. So my very first introduction into network marketing was the love of my life telling me I joined a pyramid scheme. Now, here's your lesson. I turned around and said, fuck you. No, I said, hang on a minute. I don't know anything. Maybe I have, but let me go away and decide that for myself. So I went and educated myself. It took me 2 minutes to realize, less than 2 minutes. I Googled, because I had no idea. I was like, what is a pyramid scheme? Literally, this was the extent of my, I understood that they were, the first immediate thing was they are completely illegal. There is no product. Most, 99% of the time when they're caught and found out, if they're bigger and they sort of take off, the people that start them go to jail. They're so illegal. There's no product. It's like, I'm trying to recruit you on money to then recruit others on money. So I walk out and I said to more, and then I Googled network marketing. Highest paid profession in the world, you know, billions paid out to its, 220 million paid out to its customers and distributors every day. World greats whose books I'd read at this point for 5 years, Tony Robbins, Robert Kiyosaki, Warren Buffett, all spoke about how they love the model, they love the business, they love the profession, they're in the profession. And I walked out laughing to my, you know, with love, but high school dropout husband. And I said, honey, you can eat a dick. Like, I was like, I haven't joined a pyramid scheme, darling. They're illegal. I've joined the highest paid profession in the world. You can say sorry, and I'm a genius. Like, I was just like, this is the smartest thing. And so literally from there, armed with that knowledge, whenever anyone came to me and said, first of all, that, you know, they'd go, because he actually said to me, he goes, oh shit, I didn't even know that. And I said to him at that time, our company had been around like 15 years, multi-billion dollar company. And I said, do you think, honey, if it was a pyramid scheme, you know, it'd have been around for 15 years, do $1 billion in sales every year? No, of course not. The owners would be in jail and there'd be no product. So he actually said, oh my God, okay, I've got it wrong. Like, they, pyramid schemes are real and they're out there, but he's like, oh, okay, I've literally got this all wrong. And then that was my second lesson. I realized, well, actually, most of the time when people come at you with that objection, they don't even know what it is. They literally, and that's not their fault. That's just, it's a clickbaity, thirst trappy topic that so many, and I'm doing this in inverted commas, influencers post about, which garners interest because they on the internet, because they know it's going to get clickbait. They know they're going to get the most comments on any other post that they do. And so most of the time your friends that go, oh, it's a pyramid scheme, they actually don't even know what a pyramid scheme is. They don't, because then if they knew and they had intelligence, which I trust they do, and a brain, which they do, they would know that it's just not the case at all. Network marketing is a profession. Pyramid schemes are illegal. And so, yeah, so I always say back then, and this is what I coach my team on, I always say, ask them, oh, what do you think a pyramid scheme is? And they're going to go, typically it's like it's a scam. Pyramid schemes absolutely are a scam, of course. Network marketing isn't. Or all the people at the top make all the money. And I'm like, okay, so that's a whole other different actual conversation. That doesn't make it a pyramid scheme. That makes it something that you disagree with because you think all the people at the top make all the money, which again is a myth. So like in our, the number one income earner in our company was enrolled by number two. So figure that out. But anyways, as in like phenomenal, right? So I just always love to ask questions, seek first to understand, then be understood with that one. And number two, encourage people to always just educate themselves so they have that baseline understanding and posture that when then someone comes back and says, oh, well, you know, it's a cult or whatever it is, it's a pyramid scheme because, or it's like, it's a cult. It's like, well, that's also not a pyramid scheme, right? And they've just got this real anger about it because they've learned or they've genuinely had a bad experience, which I completely understand. So it's just about seeking to understand where that person's coming from always, because 90% of the time they actually, honestly, when I ask now, I go, okay, cool. Tell me what that is. They go, well, actually, I don't even really know. Like, I've just heard that. And I'm like, okay, beautiful. So let me educate you on what a pyramid scheme actually is, because they are real and you should know and look out for them, and what network marketing is, which is to me the most beautiful, generous, genius, brilliant business model on the planet. Fact.
Yeah, that's really powerful. And I think it is, like you said, it's educating yourself on what both are so that you know, you've got that tool in your kit. Because that's what I used to teach too. It's like, ask them, what do you mean by that? Because a lot of the time they don't actually know what they're saying. And it can come from a place of compassion and love for you because they don't want you to do the wrong thing or, you know.
And or just the negative connotation that's been out there. Look, I always, it's fine. When those words come out of my mouth, I want to catch it because I'm like, I mean, I've been doing this 8 years now. We've earned now, I think, 1.6 million. Like, I am an ambassador for this profession. I don't get critics and hate. Like, I don't get those comments now in my world of, oh, it's a pyramid scheme. It's just like, no, it's a beautiful, brilliant, genius, generous business model that I'm a part of and I'm proud. So, but I know it's out there. And I will actually say, I feel like recently, and this is what I said in that sort of last sentence, more podcasters and influencers, again, because it is a thirst trap topic. 100%. What is a thirst trap? It's like they're going to put it up because they know it's clickbaity. I don't even think they know what it is, but they'll put it down because they know it's algorithm. I'm not even kidding you guys. Like, be wary of these influencers and these podcasters, which I'll listen. Like if a team member sends it and they're like, oh my God, Anna, you know, my friends just sent me this. I'll always listen. I still always listen. And I listened to one recently and we were laughing the whole time. We were like, this actually, not one word that came out of these women's mouths was actually even true. Not one bit of it. And I thought, how can you actually even get on a podcast? And it was not their fault, right? I'm like, you just did no research. You've just got no idea. You're not intentionally doing this, but you're doing it because it's a thirst trap, you know, and it did. It went bananas, right? Because a lot of network marketers, actually, let me say this, stop defending on those posts. If you stop going on those posts and defending, you will stop giving these idiot influencers and podcasters, and they're idiots when they hate something they don't understand. That is an idiot behavior. If you stop going and comment, because that's the vast majority, friend, like people that are like, yeah, pyramid scheme, or like, yeah, my friend, they'll always comment, but they're actually the minority on those posts. The majority of comment on any of those posts is us, are the network marketers going in to defend. Stop it. Our profession is not on trial. Your company is not on trial. Your products are not on trial. Stop defending them, right? Don't comment. Leave it. Delete your Instagram if you need to for the day. Because literally, if we stop giving them something to post about and giving them this thirst trap, like clickbaity algorithm boost for their page, they won't post about it because they're going to just get an echo chamber of like, yeah, ha, ha, and not enough comments for what, and that's all they want. So yeah, I'm always like, I tell my team, I'm like, leave it. Don't tag anyone. Don't defend. Our company doesn't need defending. Our profession doesn't need defending. It doesn't.
No, all we're doing by doing that is boosting their algorithm or their engagement, really.
100% you are. You are literally boosting that post and giving them, oh, okay, cool. I got 1,000 comments. I only usually get 20. Like, oh, I'm going to post about it again because this, it does. It's 100%.
Exactly. Yeah, so totally. Stop it. Let's do a rapid fire quickly before I ask you the last few questions today. But how does someone start in network marketing? Because that's something that people ask all the time. Like, what's your top two or three things of where someone can begin? They've found this amazing company. They pretty much want to spew the products all over everybody. But we all know that that's not the right way to handle it. Where do you start?
Do you mean like as in if they're looking to join or like
they're
if
they're joining something? Yeah,
they've already joined.
Yeah.
You got to get the results. This is my number one thing. You've got to be authentic. You've got to like start right there. Like I always say to my girls, don't open your mouth until you genuinely have felt this for yourself, right? It's got to always come from that truly authentic, organic place. And then secondly, tell your story. Always take people on the journey. Don't be weird. Like my company is a part of my life. You'll see it in stories in the background and things like that. But it's a part of my life. So start to tell the story. This is the number one. There's two ways that women, like, they're either too scared to post about it or they post about it too much. Just let it be a part of your daily life, like it is when you put it on your face or consume it. So just let it be a really organic, beautiful part of how you weave the story every day. So get the experience and then tell that story. Just like if you have kids, you post about them. If you have a business, other business, you post about that. Let network marketing's product that you've chosen be the same thing.
Yeah, that's really powerful. It's about almost like blending it in what you already do instead of showing it like a sale in front of people's faces. So showing yourself using the product even is really helpful.
Absolutely.
So tell us, what are you reading at the moment? I love knowing what people are listening to, what people are reading, because we can learn so much and discover new books.
Yeah, I read a book a week about a book a week. And right now I've just bought Winging It by Emma Isaacs.
Oh, nice.
I've heard some good things. And I will say this, I thought it would probably be a bit too basic for me. I was like, I'm kind of there, I feel. But then I was like, here's a woman. So she, just so everyone knows, she's got 6 kids. She lives in LA. She's Australian. She live streamed on Facebook her last birth, her 6th birth. She's a badass. Like she's just like, she's a millionaire. Like she's just phenomenal. So I thought, no, hang on. Any woman that does is that badass, I want to learn from. So Emma Isaacs, Winging It.
Yeah, I've seen that book. And it's funny you say that because I was like, oh, is it something I would actually like to read? Because I'm like you, I read a lot and a lot of cool books. And I was like, it might be a bit of a basic book. I'm going to get it
Get it. She's just that. And honestly, I'm loving it. I'm about four chapters in and I'm loving it. Yeah.
Awesome. That's awesome. Is there anything else that we haven't talked about today? I mean, I could have had you on for so long, but I'm so conscious of your time and I really value your time. So is there anything else you'd love to share with the audience today before we leave?
No, I've loved our chat. I'm like, we could go so many places. I'm like, we could do an hour. Let's get me back on and I can riff for network marketing because I'm just so passionate about it. And I want women to know, I suppose it's this, like I just want women to know how phenomenal our profession is and how it really isn't on trial. So stop acting like it is and just stand in your truth and power and know that it absolutely can be the vehicle, will be the vehicle that can fundamentally set you free. It just is in whatever capacity that is for you. If it is just the product that you're passionate about or the money side as well. But yeah, just letting women know that they're worthy and worth it and amazing and powerful and potent. And I want them to step into that more and more.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. And so how can people find you online or work with you? Because I know you said you've got your self-love score. It's probably closed now. When's the next round?
No, so it's just open. So I don't know when you're going to release this, but it opened this morning and it's going to close Sunday midnight. So 21st of Feb, it will close. I do four intakes a year. So regardless, if you don't get in this one, but you're like, self-love school is what I want to do, come and find me on Instagram. Come and find me on Instagram. That's where I am, you know this, all day, every day.
Yes.
in my stories, in my grid, and I've got my link tree there. So if you want to listen to our podcast, it's there. If you want to look up self-love school, it's there. If you want to just laugh with me on Instagram all day, then I'm there. So Instagram.
Yeah. Anna is amazing to watch on Insta. I'm quite honored to have you on the show. And I think I've seen you over the years with the network marketing profession, like dabbling in and out of that. But I just recently, more so in the last year, have just been like, yeah, girl, like share that truth. So if you want someone that's really open to sharing on what's going on in the world or any other amazing stuff, Anna's your girl. So it's been
Yesterday I single-handedly talked about politics and orgasms on the same day.
Like, yeah, I saw that.
Get real and raw from me.
I actually read to my boyfriend your story last night about blowjob day in March.
Yeah. Oh, and blowjob. And I talked about blowjob. Yeah, so there's that. Yeah, I have a lot of fun. Come and hang out. If nothing else, I will give you a giggle, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's so cool. Head over and check her out. Thank you so much for being on the show. Like I said, I could have had you on for hours and hours. There's so much we could have, you know, rambled on about, but I'm really grateful for your time today.
Thank you, beautiful.
What an incredible human. I hope that you enjoyed today's episode with Anna. She is such a beautiful woman with so much wisdom to share. So do follow her over on Instagram. And it would mean the absolute world to me if you could take a screenshot, pop it up in your stories and share with your audience. And don't forget to tag me at I Am Rebecca Neal or Rebecca Neal the podcast so that I can share it on my stories too. And if you're new around here, welcome. I'm so grateful to have you. And I really do hope that you enjoy the many more guests that I have on the show and go back and have a listen to some of the past episodes because they will blow your mind. I really hope that you enjoy the rest of your day and I look forward to connecting with you over on Instagram in the DMs.